Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is July 14, 2016. In turmoil, most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. It's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. Remember, you can also email me with that message, and if you include your address on it, I will print it out and take it to the mission church. We'll anoint it with oil. We'll pray on it, and then we'll mail it back to you. And, of course, we will not use that mailing address for any kind of solicitation. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. You can always find updates for the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address on our blog, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Remember, you can get the latest breaking news over there. Just like now, there's a lot of news over there about the truck crash or bombing, the fire going on, the terrorist attack in France right now. Anyway, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. So pray about supporting airtime. Airtime isn't free, and you know that this radio program we do not personally sell anything. And so pray about supporting radio. On another note, I want to thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like Stockholm, Sweden, Helsinki, Finland, Dublin, Ireland, Athens, Greece, Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, Rosario, Argentina, and in the United States, Seattle, Washington, Dallas, Texas, Washington, D.C., Tulsa, Oklahoma, Houston, Texas, San Diego, California, Santa Ana, California, Boston, Massachusetts, San Francisco. I could go on for a very long time, but that's all I'm going to do for today, except for mentioning that we are greatest group of listeners, at least which, when the programs go to radio, go to podcast later tonight, then Wichita, Kansas is our biggest group of podcast listeners. And so you folks in Wichita, Kansas, remember the Mission Church is over there. Drop in and see us. Now, prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. And I think you're really going to find this program really interesting. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray again for all the people out there that have lost family or wounded in this terrible tragedy that we just had. And I also lift up all the wounded that are in France right now, Father. Be with these people and intercede for them in Yeshua's name. I also pray that America will repent of their sins. But I pray that the whole nation will pray and turn back to you. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will, not mine. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. So please, Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, from the New York Times, we have 69% of Americans say race relations are generally bad, one of the highest levels of discord since the 1992 riots in Los Angeles during the Rodney King case, according to the latest New York Times CBS polls. Well, tonight, I brought somebody on with it. Me, his name is Bishop Aubrey Shines. He's the founder of Glory to Glory Ministries, located in the inner city of both Tampa and Orlando, Florida. Shines is a Chicago native. He began ministering in Cook County Correctional System in Chicago, Illinois. Pastor Shines' most recent accomplishment is being one of the seven founders of the International Communion of Evangelical Churches organization under the dynamic leadership of the presiding bishop, Harry R. Jackson, Jr. He's also the author of the new book, Homosexuality, Things That the Media Won't Tell You. No, I haven't read the book yet, but I would really like to. Anyway, so let's welcome now Pastor Shines. Are you there with me?
I certainly am. Great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Well, there's just so much going on nowadays, just one thing after another. But first off, let's hear a little bit more about your ministry. What is Glory to Glory, brother?
Well, Glory to Glory is a pastoral ministry, and primarily we're here in Tampa more than anything. We had another church there in Orlando as well. And here I serve 20-plus different ethnic groups on every giving Sunday, and we're very, very strong. We're one of the fastest-growing churches, literally, in this region here. And I'm constantly involved across this nation, TV, radio, on secular/cultural issues. And I tell you, it's really been just a phenomenal blessing, very, very involved politically, you know, as well, and just very involved in the process, making sure that Christians understand we have a obligation to God that should be lived out through our love for Israel and how we go about making sure that we are impacting our culture. And these are several of the things that we are involved in. Of course, a lot of hate mail comes with those things because I don't fit the model as some would have and or desire me to fit. Nonetheless, we find ourselves having phenomenal success simply because we do believe that the truth really does make individuals free. So great to be with you on this evening.
Well, amen. I'm very overjoyed to hear you talk about the truth and you know, what you're talking about. What really stands out is you're dedicating yourself and saying that we must uphold Israel. I noticed that the new Republican platform is going to include something. What I found surprising was the fact that they're now going to take away the two-state solution and that they believe that Israel is no longer occupied territory. I think that's a great move on their part. What do you think?
Oh, I do too. And again, this is in all fairness and transparency to your audience. I was one supporter of Ted Cruz, and unfortunately that horse didn't make the race. And this was something we were pushing him to do. I met with him along with other evangelical leaders in this nation. And in all fairness to your audience, Pastor, I was invited also to come and be part of the evangelical gathering in New York with Donald Trump as well. And this was something that we've been pushing for a long time because we believe historically, biblically, that there is no such thing as Palestine. It's a myth, and people that don't understand things of that magnitude, and not that your show would allow the type of time to do it. I'm sure that you've done that topic, great subject matter before, but to see that the GOP party is lining up with those of us who have very conservative views and 100% support of Israel and to the current Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, that is there. This is something we're very glad about, especially, Pastor, knowing that this current failed president, Barack Hussein Obama, has opposed this Israel idea from its inception. And allow me just to add a very quick caveat, and that is this. I'm from Chicago. I'm high schooled and college there. And I can tell you, knowing of Dr. Jeremiah Wright, knowing the type of theology that they preach is what is called a black liberation theology. These are individuals that have, from beginning, have always seen Israel as an occupier and not as the one who God granted the land to in the first place. So, again, to see the GOP finally awaken to this idea, it really does bring my heart great joy. So I'm excited about what's going on in our nation. And more importantly, I'm glad that I and my congregation, as well as so many that follow me, are also involved in making sure that our voices are being heard in our nation.
Well, amen. I don't think that our, I think the voices may have been heard, but I don't think they've been acted on for a very long time. It seems like, I remember when I was young that I would, if they caught a politician lying or something, you know, when I was young, I mean, it was just, it was scandalous. Now it's just like, you know, it's great just to hear them speak the truth once in a while. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. And again, when I was younger, you know, we called it lying in our home, and there was a residual effect if we were caught doing so. And unfortunately, that's just not the day and hour that we live in. And it's something I said on a TV show just within the last 24 hours when I was asked something, at least in principle, of this same type of issue. I says, well, here's the reality. Dr. Martin Luther King made a comment once. Really, he echoed it from the scripture, but I'll quote him when he said that the church is the conscience of the state. And when you see the state in chaos, I add my own IE here, it is a direct result of the church not participating in the very function that God really called us to do. We cannot sit behind four walls and pray, and I don't care how long we pray, if we're not going to participate, if we're not going to occupy until he comes, then we are also part of the problem. We must be involved. We must put some skin in the game. It's not enough for us to pray that Peter is delivered from the prison and Peter knocks on the door and we close it on him, but we must also participate, making sure that once he's out, that he lives in an environment that is conducive to peace and to goodwill for all men. So this is why, Pastor, we are involved as much as we are. This is why I write and produce the things that we do, to say to other Christian leaders that if you don't get involved, as my dad used to say prior to him passing away, he used to say, if you have the power to change, then you never have the right to complain. So I believe that if we're going to change something, it doesn't give us the right to complain. We must, Pastor, put some skin in this game. We got to get involved if we're going to get our nation back.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe faith without works is dead, being alone. You got it. You know, you can't just pray for a man to get food. If you have food, give it to him. If you got a coat, give it to him. And the same thing with this. You know, we can do something. We can use our voices. We weren't meant to just say we believe and sit down on a couch and let everybody else do the work. We are supposed to be involved, skin in the game, if you will. And that's a great way to say it. So now we're coming up on this, I mean, this horrific shooting of police. It seems like there's a war on police. It seems like to me that this is being pushed forward. Actually, since this happened, I went back and I listened to a lot of comments that Obama has made over his term and being president. And it really sounds like he is egging a division between the races. What say you?
Oh, listen, Pastor, I've been saying this from day one. Now, again, I've been called every Uncle Tom, every sellout that you can imagine, because these are the things I've talked about. Remember, I'm out of the Chicago area. I warn leaders by putting video tapes together in pieces prior to him being elected, saying to them, this guy is going to be the most racially divisive president that you've ever seen. I said, this guy is going to be very... He is going to be very anti-Israel. And I had a lot of leaders that were just horrified that I would say, black leaders would say, how dare you say that about a black guy? Give this guy a chance. It's finally our turn. Then I had my white pastor friends that have a lot of black parishioners would say, hey, I may agree with you, but I can't say that because if I do, I may lose my black parishioners. And so when you make the comment that you've gone back and studied, well, let me give just some facts to 100%, my friend, of what you just said. Here are the facts in a nutshell. This president has failed. He failed because he intended to. When you look at, for instance, the Black Lives Movement, which I don't call it Black Lives, I call it a black lie, L-I-E, it's not a real movement because it was based out of a false premise. The premise was in Ferguson, when Michael Brown was shot by the police, that he allegedly had his hands up. Well, the attorney general proved not only did he not have his hands up, that he was actually the initiator of this confrontation. He lost his life. Now we have a movement that is being funded, by the way, by someone who hates God, someone who gives to the DNC party. His name is George Soros. So he pumped tens of millions of dollars into the Black Lives Movement. We have the same movement, Pastor, that now has a seat in the White House, that's been invited into the White House. And we're actually talking to individuals that don't believe really in black lives. Now, the reason I say it is black lives really mattered. Where's the same movement where it results into stopping Planned Parenthood? After all, the biggest lives that are being lost in the black community is at the hands of Planned Parenthood, that not only kills the infants in the womb, but sells its body parts. Where's the Black Lives Movement when several thousand have been shot and killed since Barack Obama has taken office? By the way, not by white officers, but by the hands of other blacks. Where's the Black Lives Movement and this president when the facts are that there are more white police officers that kill whites than white police officers that kill blacks? So these are facts. This is not my opinion. These are statistical facts. And so when I say we are involved, I'm involved in exposing the lie of the Black Lives Movement. First of all, to even call yourself a Black Lives Movement is racist within itself. So, Pastor, we can do better, but we can't just do better, my friend, by praying. We must put some skin in the game. We must know the facts. We must know how to argue those facts. And if we don't know how to do it, in the words of the Apostle Paul, then we will be ignorant concerning the devices of the enemy. Our job is to inform, and that's what we do.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You know, what I said, and I said on a previous program tonight, we were talking about the same situation, but, you know, I have a mission church in Wichita, Kansas, and, you know, we have, you know, white, black, a lot of Indians because they come up from Oklahoma, and, you know, just mixed race, you know, everybody in there. And, you know, I don't see the racism in there. And then when I go out to, you know, maybe a McDonald's or someplace and get a burger, and I'm waited up by somebody of another race, you know, they're always really nice to me, and, you know, we all just seem like normal people. I look out, and I see young teenagers, you know, I see white kids dressing like blacks, and I see black men dressing better than them, you know what I'm saying? So everything is mixed up. I don't see the distinction in the different races, if you understand what I'm saying. And so it seems to me that all this racism that they're screaming about on TV is more of a performance to achieve some kind of an end. Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, I do. It is to achieve an end. And here's the reality. There are more mixed couples in America than it ever has been. That is a fact. And I'm fortunate. I pastor 20-plus different ethnic groups every given week. And I, you know, some would say, well, you have a personal position because your mom's Jewish. Well, she is, but that doesn't make me blind to reality. The more racist experiences I personally have experienced have never been at the hands of someone white. It's been from people that are black. I've experienced more racism from blacks simply because they say, well, wait a minute, you don't talk black, which is, by the way, it's an insult because I thought I was just speaking English. I don't know what dressing white or dressing black really means. I think what we do is we identify the way people dress based on a particular culture. But whether it's dressing or rap music, there are more white kids that actually buy rap music than black kids. So I'm not sure what those things mean. But I do know this. I know that our nation is in trouble. And I know that part of the problem, and again, I echo both Moshe's word or Moses' word, and I echo the words of Dr. King, and that is until people awaken and realize that we must put some skin in this game, and until the church indeed becomes the conscience of our country, then we are failing as leaders. We are failing as spiritual counselors. We're failing as spiritual pastors. We're failing when we pronounce and proclaim Yeshua to be our way, but the reality of it is we're not living after his patterns because we are refusing to go out and to really address and deal with these issues. We can no longer stay in our churches, our synagogues, and be silent while we watch the world go to hell in a handbasket and we say, oh, what a shame it is. Well, sure it's a shame if you're not doing anything about it, if your ministries around this country are not involved, not just in the preaching of the gospel, but incorporating how do you change the culture? How do you begin to be the salt, the light that we are commanded to be? I believe once we understand those premises, these are principles I teach. I teach them in leadership. I sit on boards across this nation. I address issues of this magnitude. And, Pastor, it really does make a difference. When you give an individual knowledge, it really does arm them to begin to disarm the enemy. But there has to be knowledge in order to do so.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a chat box up here thing, and somebody has a question for you. I don't know if we'll get to it before break, but it says, why do you think that the Black Lives Matter people are so offended and violently against anyone who says all lives matter? Good question.
Well, I can tell that individual, and that's a great question, whoever asked that question. It's a simple answer, because the Black Lives Movement have been misinformed. Imagine starting out a journey believing that you're 200 pounds heavier and 300 pounds taller or heavier than you should be. If you believe the lie in the beginning, then the very part of your journey when you start out, it's a lie from the beginning. Black lives feel that way because they have been told a lie. They've been told white cops are killing us and it's killing our people and we got to do something about it. Well, if you believe that in the beginning, you're going to not believe that white lives matter because you're going to see the only life matter is your own. Well, the problem, Pastor, was a lie from the beginning. There are more white police officers that kill whites than white police officers that kill blacks. Now, what would happen if those Black Lives Movement people knew that? Would it not change their position? Of course it would. But when you are hearing this, even from the White House, you're going to believe it. When you're seeing it on TV all the time, that's what you're going to believe, my friend. So that's why they don't believe all lives matter, because they feel no one cares about them. Unfortunately, they've been, the participants of a lie. And unfortunately, that lie is continuing to be fed through the national media outlets.
Absolutely. And that brings us, well, we are at the middle, we're going to take a break, but that's one important thing that is missing from the media and missing from politicians, folks, and that's truth. Well, Aubrey, tell us where your website's at, and then I'm going to mention your book when we get back, but tell us where the website's at, where you can find the book and your, you know, your website.
Oh, come out to glorytoglory.org, glorytoglory, G-L-O-R-Y-T-O-G-L-O-R-Y, glorytoglory.org, or on your phone, download the application called Periscope. Follow me at Aubrey Shines, A-U-B-R-E-Y-S-H-I-N-E-S. Follow me out there, or just go out to Amazon and you can pick up the book as well. And by the way, I don't take any personal money, Pastor, for this. I put every dime back into making sure that America is educated on the facts.
Okay. We'll be back in 3 minutes, folks.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, please remember to pray about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Of course, the homeless are poor, but we're talking about the poor that come from all over the city. people who work just part-time in order to keep a roof over their family's head. They come looking for food, clothing, first aid, over-the-counter medications, blankets, Bibles, the gospel, and miracle prayers. You wouldn't believe how many miracles we have seen in this place, because when people have nothing, they have great faith, and they come to you and they ask you for faith, for a prayer. They're ready to receive. So why do so many people come for us? For help, well, love, that's the answer. They're treated as family, and we give them relationships. We have no set guidelines like programs. People walk in the door and ask for what they need. That's the rule. And if we have the way to fill it, we fill it. If we don't, we pray it in. This is why even the agencies tell their employees about the Potter's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. We are the last hope for so many, and we're all responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. Remember, this ministry, we do not sell anything at all whatsoever. Remember, they tried to get me to sell survival food? Well, because I believe that everybody ought to have survival food, I told you that I could not do that. I applied for it, and they accepted me, and I said, well, we're going to advertise Wise Food, but I couldn't do it. I still think Wise is a good place to get survival food, but I wouldn't do it and get paid for it, so I don't accept any money. So anyway, you can donate online or mail a check or money order and find all that information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And now we've been talking about the war on the police and some other things with Bishop Aubrey Shines. Are you still there with me, Pastor?
Yes, I am, sir.
Well, you know, while we're on a great subject, I got to talk to you about your book. In fact, I think I left a message even over at your website that I would like to have you on for. Well, I so happened to have you on the air with me now, and we got about 20 minutes. The book is Homosexuality, Things That the Media Won't Tell You. I haven't had a chance to read the book, so take me into this.
Well, I tell you, one of the reasons I wrote the book, Pastor, is because of the LGBT community. I'm working on a second one right now. The book has done incredibly well. And one of the three areas, at least in the book, and it's a very short book. I really produced it to have pastors be able to give this information to their ministries of leaders and elders and teachers, and really just to equip believers to understand, how do you make these arguments? People may know what the scripture says, but often people really don't know how to address. They don't know how and what to say and what topic is and isn't off the subject matter. And so I wrote a book, and one of the areas, for instance, in homosexuality, what the media won't tell you, I exposed the fact that the LGBT community often deemed themselves as the new civil rights group and that they were the new black of America. Well, I can tell you, blacks that were and whites that were a part of the civil rights movement, they are offended. The reason they are offended that homosexuals would say this and tag themselves to the civil rights movement is because in America, there has never been a water fountain that said for heterosexuals only. There's never been a school that desegregated itself because homosexuals were not allowed to go there. There's never been jobs that homosexuals have not been able to have based on their desire to be with their same sex. But blacks did experience that. Well, in the book, I begin to expose the lie, and it has really helped equip people how to argue, because what I found, most people want to be able to speak on subject matters. They don't know what to say. Therefore, they say nothing, which is, by the way, a greater travesty than being silent. Because when you don't know what to say, and yet we're commanded by the apostles to always have an answer of the hope that lies within us, then you don't know how to respond to those individuals that really need your hope. So, Pastor, I address the issue of education. I also address the issue from a medical standpoint that there are no genes in a person's body that says they are homosexual. Case in point, Everyone that knows contemporary history knows that, for instance, and I'm not saying this as a some expose, these are facts that are out there. There have been multiple men and women that have left the lifestyle, and I shepherd many of them, that they were once in a same-sex relationship, and now they live as heterosexuals. Many have children now, and they moved on with their lives. Well, if you were born that way, then you could never change the way that you are born.
Right.
Well, the issue with blacks is blacks are born black just as a white is born white. And no matter what you do, you can go out and get all the sun you want. But the reality of it is the melanin in your skin only can produce a certain amount of chemical that says you're this or that as it relates to color. I expose those myths. And, again, it's a very small book because I didn't want to overwhelm the reader with a lot of information that they would just be bogged down. So I produced this book to be able to give an answer. Then the last portion of it, I really address the issue of education, because what most Americans have no idea, that the moment same-sex becomes legal and has become legal, that means that your children, your grandchildren, your nieces and your nephews, as early as 4, 5 years of age, now when they go to a public school, that teacher can teach them about putting condoms on, teach them about the pleasures of sex with the same sex, and even if a parent says, hey, I don't want you teaching my kids that. That's not what I believe in. Well, because of the way our laws are set up, we cannot then discriminate because, after all, the church was silent on the issue. Therefore, now our children are being inundated with behavior that parents that have Judeo-Christian belief systems, we don't believe in. But there's nothing or very little that one can do because we didn't engage in the culture of our community. Pastor, I expose those myths in the book, and as a result, the book has really been a help and a real tool to be able to help believers understand that you cannot close your eyes and think, well, I'm just going to love and it's going to go away. No, we must occupy until he comes. Part of our occupation is to make sure we are filled with wisdom and knowledge on how to give an answer of the hope that lies within us. That is the premise, sir, of the book.
Okay. Well, I've got some things to talk about. Question. You are, you know, I talk to, you know, this is a prophecy program, and we talk about, you know, about a lot about sin and where it's taken the world in the end times. And here's the point. We find that over and over that part of a lot of these problems in the United States and elsewhere in the world could have been alleviated and stopped if the church would have just spoke up. Now, you, on the other hand, you are advising and, you know, you're a mover. You're advising people to get up off the couch and do something. Why do you think, how did you get to where you're at when so much of the church is the other way of being disengaged, but you're engaged?
It's a great question, and I think it speaks of your great insight. I tell you, I just simply, you know, when one reads the scripture, if you're given to reading scripture, and I can't imagine a believer that's not, when I read that we are commanded to do something, and one of the scriptures that just always just, I don't know, was always overwhelming to me is when Christ tells his followers, he said, look, I'm going to make you witnesses. Well, I've studied Hebrew, and I realize that that word witness literally means a martyr. So what the Messiah was saying, what Yeshua was saying was, I'm going to actually give you power to die. Now, that kind of freaked me out, to be honest with you, because I'm thinking, why do I need power to die? We all going to die. It's appointed unto all men to die. What do you mean you're going to give us power to die? Well, I understood it. He's going to give us power to be able to endure the death that's going to come when we do speak out. And when I saw that, I never imagined for a moment if the last command was to go. Well, he never said stop going. So I just believed what I read, and I can't imagine believers that are passive, that are docile. Again, I'm very privileged. I speak and have spoken in probably the largest churches in this nation and the smallest churches in this nation, and I'm intrigued when I see large ministries that are afraid to address issues of this magnitude, but yet I find there's a hunger among the parishioners. They actually desire to do something. They don't want dead religion. They don't want to just come and sit and hear someone speak apparently the word of the Lord, but there is no action to it. And I find that young people, they get it. They understand that church should be something that is a living organism, that is organic, and something begins to happen. I mean, my God, if I die, as one of the old songs would say, let me die in the army of the Lord. If we are not going to have that position, then what are we really doing? Are we just gathering? Because if that's the case, I can just stay at home. But I yet read where the great apostles commands us, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as so many have already done. And when you come together, come for the purpose of edification. Well, again, there's that action word, Pastor Dan, again. If we're going to be edified, what are we doing with it? If you fill my glass with something to drink on a hot day, and you fill it with something cool, I think it would, if you allow me to use old English here, I think it would behoove me to drink what you've poured for me. Or why did you waste your time in pouring it if I wasn't going to have sense enough to drink it? I see the same thing in the Gospels. I see these great, courageous men and women that heard Yeshua, took him at his word, and according to the writers, they changed and turned the world upside down. Yeah. And so when I see that, I can't imagine a place where I'm passive and I'm docile. Or I don't want to say this because I may offend someone. No, I'd rather offend you. Offenses, according to Yeshua, they'll come. But I have a responsibility in love to speak the truth, whether it's a good season to do it or a poor season to do it. I'm commanded to do it, and I'm excited that I have the grace, sir, to be able to do so.
Yeah, amen. Very well said. The word faith is an action word. It means get up and move. It doesn't mean sit down. And we do see that sitting down so much. You know, not as much. I find that it seems like any more the smaller the churches, the greater faith that I'm seeing. Not that there isn't some mega churches out there, because I haven't visited every church in the country or even in the city of Wichita. But I do know that what I see is so many of them becoming politically correct, and that's what I don't understand, is when a church says, goes against what the Bible says. Well, it's okay for gay marriage. It's okay for this, and it's okay for that. And I had a young couple tell me we were in the middle of a teaching thing, and the Spirit hit me, and I turned around and I looked at him and I asked him. I said, "Can you continue on in adultery and expect to still be saved?" And they said, "Yes, of course." And I said, "Well, where did you learn that at?" "Well, we can do anything, any sin that we want. It doesn't matter. We're still saved by grace." And I said, "Where did you learn that?" And they said, "You know, Pastor, that big church down the street," and I won't mention the name of it. And I was just appalled at what I was hearing. Back to you.
Well, I'm appalled, Pastor, because the last I read out of St. John, John's Gospel, John said when he was writing and Jesus is speaking, and it's very simple. Jesus says, "You want to be my disciples?" And I quote, "Then the only way you'll be my disciples, if you continue in my word." If you continue in my word, Christ says, then you are my disciples indeed. Well, the flip side to that is, if you don't continue in my word, then you're no longer my disciples. And so, I again, that 18th century teaching, and I'm familiar with it, it's something that is certainly nowhere pregnant within the pages of the Scripture. But what it has done is it has weakened believers to believe that they can be inactive. It has weakened believers and leaders to believe that while they may preach, for instance, traditional marriage, they dare not tell their parishioners how to vote. Well, I don't know how you do that. I not only preach it, I not only share it, I share with my congregation why I'm voting for who I'm voting for. I will not allow some politician to come into the church that does not exemplify the views, biblical views that I believe in. Now, if I were to allow them, I also would stand up before the congregation and say, I've allowed this man or woman to come here for one reason. This is someone who you should never vote for because they don't adhere to the biblical beliefs that you do. See, that type of courage, Pastor, you don't see it very often. And I'm not saying that about me. I'm not in any way. I'm not right. ignorant. I know that in the words of Elijah, I'm not the only one that's doing this. I'm sure there are gazillions of guys right. that do the same thing. I get it, but I'm just simply trying to illustrate a point, and that's this. Our nation, in the words of Dr. King, the church is no longer the conscience of this nation, and we see it because we see the moral bankruptcy that has permeated the halls of Congress. We see a moral breaking in our nation because the church has been silent. You and I cannot name one mega pastor, and I know several of them personally, and I have rebuked several of them personally, but I can tell you, even when the same issue of same-sex marriage came around, they were silent on the right. issue. While they said, well, this is God's way, they never instructed their parishioners who they should vote for and why they should vote for. They're not involved in making sure their senators and governors are being written and phone calls are being made. We cannot just sit in our churches, in our homes, knowing the truth, but never put any skin in the game. If we are going to make a difference, we must make a difference. And if we yeah. don't do it, Pastor, it's not going to be done.
Absolutely. And there are a lot of these ministers that are, and this isn't new to this program, there's a lot of ministers where you have, like, say, some of these mega televangelists that, you know, preach a soft doctrine. They could have stood up for the things that we're talking about, and we wouldn't be in the position in the place that we're at. I believe that, but here's a real question for you. I'm looking at how far we'll call it the left or the ungodly actually have came in the last 8 years or even further than that against us in America. Do you think there is a turning back to that, or do you think that, what do you think?
Well, I think the left, and again, I want your viewers to understand that the views that I'm about to express are not necessarily the views of Pastor Dan. These are the views of Pastor Aubrey Shines of Tampa, Florida. I have been opposed, Pastor, to the Democratic National Party forever. The reason being is because I'm a student of history. The DNC party is a party that gave America slavery. It gave them Jim Crow laws. It gave them same-sex marriage. It gave them Roe v. Wade. It has also given them a hatred for Israel. I personally have no clue, as a born-again believer, how any believer could ever, under any circumstance, vote for a party that hates Israel, that doesn't believe in traditional marriage, that believe it is the mind of God to promote same-sex marriage. I don't understand any believer that could be affiliated with the party that was responsible for slavery, that was responsible for Jim Crow laws, that was responsible for the lynching of so many people in this country, and yet to be a part of it? No, I don't see any turning back from them. They are exactly who they are. And I have worked with groups like Tony Perkins and others, and I can tell you we're very involved. We're very involved in trying to make a difference. We're involved to encouraging and giving education out to leaders. A lot of things that I do, pastors, that go in and I help leaders, and I believe in everything that you perhaps believe in. I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. I still believe in miracle-working power. I believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or even think. But I don't believe that we could also believe those things and close our eyes to these political parties. And I'm not promoting a party. I'm just simply saying I can never vote and be part of a party that has been the very downfall of America. I can never do it. And I teach men and women all the time that they need to make what I call an exodus from that plantation party, leave that party, and join a party that will at least reflect your biblical views. I believe that, and I preach it.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'm really pleased that that you're on my program today. What is this next book that you said that you got coming out? What's it
called? Well, I'm producing a book right now talking about the end game of the LGBT community, what it's really, really, really all about. And I should have it out prayerfully before, right at the turn of the year here. I'll be able to settle down and push it out. People need to understand what's really going on, that this is not about love, what you're seeing. This is not about everyone that should have a right to marry. It's not about those things at all. They have an agenda, and that agenda is to shut the mouths of pastors and leaders that speak out against their lifestyle. And it doesn't mean that we don't love. We love all people. I have men and women that are part of my congregation, Pastor, that have lived lifestyles, not just as homosexuals and as lesbians, but also as liars and as cheaters, as haters. And we address those issues in a very loving fashion. But the role of the LGBT community is to take voices like yours, like mine, off of TV, off of radio, because they don't want to hear that their lifestyle does not please God. And so this is their real agenda. I'm going to expose it. I have the facts to prove it. It's not my opinion. I'm taking them at their own words, their own actions. And while the church is silent and not being involved, the LGBT community is very involved in changing public policy. And if we're not involved, then we have no right to complain about the atrocities that our nation views on a daily basis. Pastor, we can do better, but we got to put some skin in the game. We got to get involved. And if we don't, we have no reason and no right to complain.
Absolutely. I couldn't have said it better. And that's what this program is about tonight, is really getting the people of the Father to speak up. We need to speak up and stand our ground. As you say, we need to get some skin in the game. And that's what I say all the time on this radio program, is we need to, I encourage people to get their pastors involved, to get, and if they're pastors, get their congregation involved and stand up, because we have the numbers to stand up and make a difference if you only stand up and make that difference. Well, I will keep, I'm going to keep track of you and your site, and so you'll come back on when you get that book done, right?
Oh, absolutely. I would be honored to do so. And if any of your listeners would like the book, any donation at all that they send, we'll send them the book. Don't care what the donation is. Again, I don't take one penny from it. We just do it to get information out, and that's it. So if they would like the book, reach me at glorytoglory.org or follow me on Periscope. Just download my name, Aubrey Shines, or come out to aubreyshines.com and find it. And whatever donation, no matter how great or small, we'll put it in their hands, and we'll make sure that they are informed on how to participate in making sure that they begin to change a nation. I guarantee you, they read it, it will begin to change them.
Well, amen. Well, thanks for being on with me. I'm going to get the book and read it. I haven't read it yet, but I can't wait. And I couldn't wait to talk about it, although I wanted to talk about the other subject. But to me, it all kind of goes hand in hand.
Absolutely.
All right, you be blessed, brother, and we'll talk again. Goodbye. And
thank you so much, Pastor. God bless you as well, sir.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, folks, that was Pastor Aubrey Shines. He's actually a bishop, Bishop Aubrey Shines. AubreyShines.com book, or just Aubrey Shines. Look him up. There will be links to this, not on this program, there will be links to his ministry, Glory to Glory Ministries, and also to AubreyShines.com slash book. Well, it says slash book or AubreyShines.com. That way you can get the book. He said for any kind of donation, he'll give you the book. That's great. Get it in your hands. Read it. But when you read it, when you read something and it's right, you need to do something with it. And that's what we're saying. Faith. That's what we say all the time on this program. Faith. You need to get up and do something. That's what our ministry is all about. We know there's something that needs to be done. We get up and do it. The Father provides the ends to the means. But anyway, and coming back to that, if you believe what we're doing right, and you believe in these radio guests, and you believe in the Wichita Mission Church that you should be helping the poor and the homeless, you know, folks, we need your support. We really, really do. We're in this summertime, and the summertime is really, really one of the worst times for donations, and we're struggling right now. We've got so many people to help, and we've got radio bills to pay, and so we just ask that you would take it to prayer that you would please consider the Wichita Mission Church as a donation, or the radio program, Prophecy Hour, as a donation. You can donate online, or you can mail a check or money order. If it's the I do ask if the donation is for radio, that you mark on it radio. We need to remember, we prayed, and we was going to have to come up with almost $1,000 this weekend to keep the Podomatic site going. But we prayed about it, and the Father touched our heart, and I got to come up with $250 by the Sabbath, before the Sabbath. Got it? Must remember, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.